Stay tuned now for Dr. Steven Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Steven Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Dr. Steven Zelikoff, and I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and we're here today for our next edition of Bone Talk. Our topic today is going to be answers to common questions about total knee replacement and knee pain. I'm going to be sharing some of my thoughts about how to deal with pain about the knee, what some treatment options are, when should you see a doctor, things to think about when you're going to a doctor's office visit, and just trying to demystify a lot of the common misconceptions about knee arthritis. For most of my patients, then when they go to Google, you can go ahead and search on knee pain, and you end up with something like a million links. And the question is, how do you decide what's appropriate, what's not appropriate? And I'm hoping to address some of those concerns. First, when you think about the knee, there's three parts of the knee. You've got the femur, which is your thigh bone, your tibia, which is your shin bone, and your kneecap or the patella. Any one of these things can become worn. It can give you pain. Additionally, there's other parts of the knee, the meniscus that people talk about. There's ligaments that can get torn or stretched that can also go ahead and give you pain. Oftentimes, the types of pain that you get with arthritis is more of a dull, achy type of a pain. It can be sharp because you can have various types of other types of injuries that can occur to a knee. But overall, the type of pain that most people tend to feel is mostly activity-related pain when you walk or you do exercise. Occasionally, you can get pain at rest as well. Sleeping is often uncomfortable for people with arthritis because they can't really just sort of find a place for themselves. They get stiff at night and they're sort of limited. So what I usually try to tell people is that, you know, the question is, when should you see a doctor? And I think that most times if you just sort of develop pain and you've never really had an issue before and you're playing golf or you decide to exercise and you're getting a little stiff or a little inflamed, I think the most important thing is to just sort of like stop the exercise or the activity, rest a little bit. Take some Advil with food if you can take it. If it doesn't contradict with any other medicines, Tylenol is helpful. And ice. Ice is something that can be very helpful. I tell people to just get a big bag of frozen peas and put it in a pillowcase and keep it on for about 20 minutes. You want to make sure that you put it on a pillowcase or a sheet or something because the ice can actually burn your skin. And that'll cut down a lot of inflammation. And mostly you should find that you're getting better usually within a few days. If the pain persists and if you're continuing to have discomfort, then you may want to go ahead and see a doctor. Usually the first line, you can see your primary care doctor, and oftentimes they can evaluate you and make a recommendation. Or you could see an orthopedic surgeon who can go ahead and evaluate you. My practice is called Specialty Orthopedics. We're here in Harrison in Westchester County. And if there's questions, particularly in terms of common joint injuries or common problems with either spine issues or foot and ankle or hand or wrist injuries, our website is specialtyorthony.com. And we have a lot of good information regarding on how to address this. So the question is that when somebody makes an appointment to go to the doctor, and one of the things that is a good idea is to go ahead and figure out, well, what do I need to bring to the doctor's visit? And what are the things that the doctor is going to want to know from me to make that visit the most useful that it possibly can be? And I think, obviously, having a good sense of what the problem is that you're coming for in terms of trying to limit the issue is if you have a problem with your ankle, with your knee, with your hip, or what have you. Mention the activities that tend to be made worse or better with that, and also what you've done in terms of treating it in the past, in terms of whether there have been injections in the past, whether you've had any type of anti-inflammatory, any treatment that you've sort of undergone. Bringing a list of your medications is very, very helpful because one of the things things that our office wants to do is to make sure that, number one, we know as much about you as we possibly can. And then also, if we do have to prescribe you medications, that any medication that we prescribe you won't counteract with something else that you're on. So having a list of your medications is very, very helpful. Having a list of your allergies is also helpful. And having something that's actually, people will go ahead and oftentimes have something like this on their phone, or they just print it out and you bring it in. This way we can just scan it into our record. So this way we make sure that we have an accurate list of that. And having updated lists of your allergies as well, as I previously mentioned. If you've had seen another physician in the past and have had imaging studies like an MRI, having a copy of that MRI report or any of those films is also very, very helpful. And also if you've had previous surgery where there's a previous knee replacement or any types of previous implant, knowing the brand or the type of implant that's available and having a copy of the operative record is also helpful. Lastly is bring a friend or a family member with you. I think that oftentimes the visits can be intense and that you sort of meet with a doctor, you sort of can get carried away and not get a chance to really ask all the questions that you want. Or sometimes there may be some confusion about what the doctor recommends. So having a friend or a partner or another pair of ears is often helpful in terms of making sure that you get the best that you can out of that office visit. When you get to the doctor's office, I mean, usually what we end up doing is that we have patients fill out a lot of information, and that's usually for your benefit. And then we go ahead, we examine you, and then get a good set of X-rays also to take a look and see what the problem is. Now, depending on what we find at the time of the visit, particularly in patients with arthritis, is it comes down to treatment options and, you know, how do you sort of deal with treatment? Well, a lot really depends on the type of arthritis that's going on, how acute this has been. If it's something that's been going on for many years that's getting progressively worse, or if it's something that's really not terribly bothersome, but it's just sort of limiting your daily lifetime, oftentimes the things that you can do is to try, as I previously mentioned, some activity modifications, sort of changing maybe the way that you do your sport. If you play golf, maybe changing the way you swing. Also, things like supports, like a shoe insert that changes your gait can also help a little bit. Sometimes using a brace on your knee to sort of give you some extra support can be helpful. Diet can also be helpful, particularly with weight loss. Many of us have put on some weight with the pandemic. They talk about the pandemic 15 or 20. Where people will often, because we haven't been as active as we normally have been in the past, that people put on some extra weight, and that can become limiting. Every extra 10 pounds that you carry, your knee sees 40. So that simply going ahead and taking off 5 to 10 pounds can make a huge difference in terms of the way you feel and the way you move. Again, icing and heat are helpful. People ask, well, when do I use heat? When do I use ice? Usually I recommend heat in the morning. It'll loosen you up a little bit, get the blood flowing, and then ice after activities or towards the end of the day. Again, a big bag of frozen peas in a pillowcase works well. In terms of activities and exercise and things like that, I'm a big fan of physical therapy. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be at a formal physical therapy office. I know that particularly with the pandemic and the COVID-19, people have oftentimes been very hesitant to go to a formal physical therapy office. And I think that a lot of times just simply getting out and walking can be helpful. If you have access to a swimming pool, now that the weather is better, swimming is very, very helpful. Biking is terrific. In terms of the exercises that you do, try to limit the exercises to ones that are really not terribly weight-bearing, so that try to avoid running and jumping, because that tends to put a lot of pressure on your knee, especially since you, with arthritis, you lose a lot of the cushioning in your knee. So what happens is that if you go ahead and put a lot of pressure on it, that can make things worse a little bit. But the bottom line is that if it's physical, it's therapy. So you want to stay active. You want to keep your muscles strong and limber. And I think that's certainly something that's terribly effective, and I would absolutely recommend that you do that. Again, moderation is the most important thing. As far as supplements that people can take to cut down inflammation, people have worked with things like glucosamine and chondroitin that's out there. Turmeric is something else that people have used. Omega-3 fatty acids in a diet is helpful. People have used CBD oils topically where you sort of rub it on, and oftentimes we've had patients that have mentioned that that's something that's helpful. Many of these things, however, have not been studied effectively by the FDA, and I think that you just need to be careful about the product that you choose. And usually what I tell people is to go ahead and try it for, you know, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, see if it helps. If it doesn't make you better, or if you don't feel a huge difference, then at that point stop it. But also just be careful, because a lot of over-the-counter medications that you think, because they're not prescription drugs, can have side effects and can have interactions with other medications. So whenever you sort of embark on any type of a nutraceutical or any type of a supplement, make sure that you check with your medical doctor to make sure that that's not going to adversely affect any other medicines that you're taking. Anti-inflammatories can also help. Things like Advil and Aleve are helpful. Tylenol is often helpful. And if you have a lot of pain, I usually recommend Tylenol along with Advil. And you can take 2 Tylenol and 2 Advil every 8 hours with food. And then oftentimes that helps a lot with pain. Injections can also be useful in an attempt to try to avoid any type of surgery, or to try to help with symptoms. The options that patients tend to have at this point for treating inflammation include cortisone. People often ask me, how often can I get a cortisone injection? And usually people talk about 3 times a year, mostly because it does adversely affect the cartilage within the knee. And it's, you also need to be careful with cortisone if you're diabetic, because it can raise your blood sugar. So I think that's something that makes sure that if somebody offers you a cortisone injection, you're diabetic, you let them know that you do have diabetes. But cortisone can definitely help your symptoms. It's a very good anti-inflammatory agent. It cuts the inflammation down, and the symptoms and the relief can last anywhere from like 6 weeks to 3 months. Other things that we've had good success with in terms of injections include visco supplementation, which is a hyaluronic acid supplement. It's a material that actually isn't joint fluid, and it actually works as a lubricant to lubricate the inside of the knee, and it helps with symptoms and arthritis. And people can repeat this every 6 months, and it is helpful, and it does make people feel better. Other things that people get injected that you can inject is something called PRP, which is platelet-rich plasma, which is basically where you draw blood from the patient, and then we go ahead, we spin the blood, and then re-inject fluid, which has a higher degree of the platelets and then factors back into the joint. And there's been some data to show that this actually is very helpful in terms of helping with pain. There's mixed data on whether it's actually regenerative, in the sense that most of the injections that are currently now available make people feel better, but they don't regenerate cartilage. So you're not going to grow back cartilage. So that it's mostly a temporizing thing where you feel better for a while, but it's not going to go ahead and necessarily cure you. And the last thing is stem cells, which are out there at this point, and people will go ahead and have blood or fatty tissue that's aspirated and then inject into their joint. And there's been some studies showing that it can be somewhat helpful, more for things like for tendonitis, not so much for arthritis, although there are patients that do get these for arthritis. Again, not a lot of defined data on how to treat it. So when you've had various types of treatments and you've sort of have failed, or you continue to have symptoms, and, you know, a big question that sort of comes up is that, is it the right time to undergo a knee replacement? And, you know, there's no precise formula for deciding when you should have a knee replacement. I think the main reason to have it is mostly pain, because you've tried all of the forms of non-operative treatment, including various lifestyle remedies, anti-inflammatory medications, and physical therapy and injections. And that you find that, you know, your lifestyle is becoming more and more compromised, and the bad days are starting to outnumber the good days. And I think that at that point, that's when you start thinking about maybe it's right to go ahead and have surgery. in terms of the types of knee replacements that are available. You can have either what's called a unicompartmental replacement or a total knee replacement. One is a partial knee replacement, where if all the arthritis is just simply on one part of the joint, and the rest of the knee is supple and the cartilage on the other parts of the knee is really good, then the nice part is that you don't have to go ahead and replace the whole joint, and the functional aspect after surgery is a lot better with a partial replacement. Although if the arthritis is more involved and it affects other compartments of the knee, then oftentimes you need to go ahead and do a full knee replacement. Now, in terms of deciding on where to choose to have knee surgery, I think the important thing is to make sure that you find a surgeon where you have a good relationship with, which is does a lot of this type of surgery, so that they're very comfortable. I do about 500 joint replacements a year, so we offer a lot of experience to our patients in terms of how to deal with this. And I operate at 3 different hospitals that provide good options for our patients, both at Montefiore and we have a joint solutions program, which is a multidisciplinary program to take care of our patients, including both nursing, pain management, physical therapy, as well as a private set of suites that basically will try to cater to our patients. And I also work out of Westchester Medical Center and the Hospital for Special Surgery, all of which really provide very, very good care for our patients. Now, as far as what you need to do to prepare for surgery, I think that the things that usually once you decide that it's time, we have our patients do some physical therapy beforehand, something called prehab or prehabilitation. I think it's important that your knee is as strong as possible before you come into surgery. We try to make sure that we also can go ahead and optimize your care by going ahead and making sure that you're as healthy as possible. So the things we'd like you to do is to make sure that you see your medical doctor, to make sure that you're healthy. We'd like you to go ahead and make sure that you see your heart doctor, to make sure that your heart is strong enough to tolerate surgery. Most of the surgery that we do for a knee replacement is done under a regional anesthetic, which is like a spinal. You're sleepy, you're comfortable throughout the procedure, but the nice part is that it's not general anesthesia, which overall works much, much better. As far as the things that you can do to increase the odds of a successful surgery, or to go ahead and try to make yourself the best you possibly can be. And those things include, again, staying active, losing excess weight, making sure that your weight is okay. And also, if you smoke, you need to make sure that you stop smoking, because smoking, significantly increases the risk factors, for knee replacement or any type of surgery, both in terms of infections, wound healing problems, and things of that nature. So I think that's very, very important to make sure that you stop smoking prior to surgery. One of the things that people ask about is that what's my recuperation going to be like, and what's actually done during the surgery. What's done during the operation is that once you decide you come into the hospital, we keep you comfortable for the procedure, and then what's involved in knee replacement is that we go ahead and I make an incision in the knee. Most of the knees replacements that I do are a muscle-sparing technique, and then we just sort of move the muscles out of the way, and then we go ahead and resurface the end of the bone. This is done using either a computer-navigated system, which is like a GPS for the knee, or we use a robotic-associated system, something called a Mako robotic system, in which case we create a three-dimensional model of the knee with a CAT scan prior to surgery, and then I'm able to go ahead and resurface the end of the joint with a prosthesis or an implant that takes away the arthritis. So instead of walking bone on bone, you're walking metal on plastic. The implants are either fixed to the bone, either with bone cement, or many of the implants now or have the ability to actually grow into the bone itself. After the surgery, we get you up the same day of surgery. You're walking the same day of surgery. Most of my patients are able to do stairs the same day. And we've really made a big push now to try to get people out of the hospital sooner, mostly because home tends to be the best place for you. Most people with joint replacements aren't sick. They just have had a procedure, and they just need to get back. And usually you eat better at home, you sleep better at home, and the things that you do at home, like getting up from the couch, going to the kitchen, that's all physical therapy. So we really try to encourage people to get home as soon as they're well. Again, most people will usually stay one night to make sure that they're safe. Physical therapy sees them, again, prior to discharge. In terms of recuperation after surgery, most patients are let drive at about 2 weeks. Most folks tend to be back doing most of their activities, probably about 85% or 90% of their activities, somewhere around 6 to 8 weeks after the operation. And then knees in general take about 6 months to a year until it really becomes part of you. But I tend to allow people to go back to things like tennis and golf, usually around 3 months. Golf, usually about 2 months. I usually go ahead and I let people go back to swinging, using chipping and putting, and then gradually increasing a club length a week after that. And the most important thing is really to get your balance back. And I think that's something that I have them work very, very aggressively with physical therapy to regain that flexibility and the balance back. As far as physical therapy, most patients tend to do physical therapy for about 6 to 8 weeks. Some take a little bit longer, and again, depends on how limited you are coming into the procedure. I think that one of the big concerns is that if you wait a long time prior to surgery, the stiffer and the more miserable you are coming into the operation is going to adversely affect how long it's going to take you to recuperate afterwards. So that's why we try to go ahead if people really come in and they really need to have their surgery done. And they're limited and they can't do activities and you've developed a contracture where you can't fully straighten your leg, then at that point I think it's not unreasonable to go ahead and try to get the knee replacement done sooner rather than later in order to attempt to get you better quicker. Once again, physical therapy is done before the surgery and then usually about 2 to 3 months afterwards to sort of make sure that you're limber and safe and you're moving around pretty well. One of the questions that I'm often asked is, how long will my knee replacement last? I think that most of the implants that now are available have bearings that last can last up to 40 years. The numbers that are quoted is that the failure rate for a knee replacement now is about 1% per year. So you've got a 50-50 shot that it can last you 50 years. A lot has to do also with the level of activity. I try to let people go back to things like skiing, hiking, biking, but trying to avoid repetitive high-impact activities such as running in an attempt to increase the longevity of the prosthesis. But the whole idea of having your knee replaced is to get back to your life, and I think that that's the most important thing that I try to go ahead and encourage my patients so they can go back to their activities as much as they can. In terms of sort of optimizing your post-operative situation, make sure also that you prepare your home for recovery. If you live in a multiple-story house, make sure that, and you can have difficulty with stairs, make sure that you possibly create a place on the ground floor so you can avoid the stairs when you first get in. Also, make sure that your house is free of obstructions and hazards, including power cords, area rugs, clutter, and furniture, so that this way you minimize any trip concerns. And you may want to consider having some handrails as well put into the shower if need be, or just to make sure that there's somebody available to sort of help you out at home for the first couple of days. So again, I think that the most important thing to sort of keep in mind in terms of a knee replacement is find a surgeon that you're comfortable with. Make sure that you have good information when you sort of go down the path of what you're doing with surgery. Again, a lot of the information I've spoken about today is on our website. We also have a strong exercise program on our website, specialtyorthony.com. Again, that's specialtyorthony.com. You can reach me at my practice at Specialty Orthopedics, and our office number is 686-0111. That's area code 914, and we're here in Harrison, New York. If there's any questions or if you feel that you want to reach us or reach me at my practice, again, it's Specialty Orthopedics, and I'm happy to answer any questions from any of the patients. But, again, I think the important thing to keep in mind when you're thinking about surgery is that you don't have to live in pain. And I think it's important to have a strong outlook and make sure that you feel good about the surgery and then really embrace the experience in the attempt to try to get yourself better and go back to being the best possible you. Again, this is Dr. Steven Zelikoff in Bone Talk. Again, if there's any questions, you can, again, look at some of our information and at specialtyorthony.com.